In recent weeks, the ISPCA has renewed its call for the urgent assistance of the Irish public in the continuing crisis currently facing animals. This is so, so sad. So the post-pandemic surge in cases has placed a significant financial burden and demand for space on the charity, which remains totally committed to helping every single animal in need and has never turned away any distressed or neglected animal needing rescue. To discuss the ongoing issue, I'm delighted to welcome CEO of the ISPCA, Dr. Cyril O'Sullivan. You're very welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thank you.
Good morning. Okay, Cyril, you say that there is a continuing animal crisis. Can you talk us through what's happening out there?
Yeah. Well, towards the end of 2022 and into 2023, our animal welfare inspectors who rescue these animals noticed an unprecedented increase in the number of animals coming into us. So it's been an extraordinary growth, as I said, unprecedented, to the point where it's staggering. And it's not only the ISPCA. All shelters are experiencing this at the moment. Some have had to shut down. Some are able to stay open. But the ISPCA, because of the nature of the work we do, we rescue animals. So for us, it's no option. We're going to continue to work through this, and we're going to, as you say, leave no animal behind.
Disturbingly, you found that there is actually a surge in cruelty and abandonment, meaning more animals need care. Is that the case? It must be quite distressing for people who work there and volunteer
and
as well.
Yeah, and a big shout out to the team, the inspectors and the animal welfare team. It's been particularly tough for them. But just to give an example of what we're talking about, for the whole of 2022, we rescued over 600 dogs, and it's principally dogs. That's a lot of animal, a lot of dogs, and all of which were rehabbed and rehomed into loving homes. For the first 6 months of 2023, we rescued the same number. So effectively, our services had to double in that time. So it's been a very tough time for us, but we're determined, as I said, to stay open. And we're going to organise private shelters. We've organised private shelters to help us through this. And just to give your listeners an idea of what the challenges, we would have over 100 dogs in private kennels. Our own centres are full. And we've negotiated a really good rate of a tenner per dog. But 100 dogs is 1,000 over a year. That's a lot of money. And on top of that, we have to get the veterinary costs working as well.
Sure.
So we're facing about $500,000. And as a small charity, that's an awful lot of money for us. So, we're looking for every bit of help we can get through this.
I was astounded at the support I got from Dogs Trust, for example, when I adopted Snoop Dogg, as we were talking off air. Just the support, because you mentioned the cost, the veterinary cost for the ISPCA. Because when I got the dog, he was fully vaccinated, wormed. I got 6 months free pet insurance. I got a voucher to get him spayed. I got his food. I got 6 training lessons with, puppy training school that we do every Tuesday. And it was, I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was a phenomenal service. And I can see, because when people want to get a dog, if they're looking to get a puppy, the ISPCA and Dogs Trust especially, I mean, there's so much to consider as well.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that, because a lot of people working from home decided to get a dog during COVID, but they found that they couldn't look after them when they were called back into the office. So is this so-called COVID puppy boom, is this still a big problem?
We believe that's the core of the problem, really, because a lot of people, as you say, were able to work from home with their family. It was a precious time. It was a silver lining at a very tough time. And they were able to bring in an animal like a dog. But that created a demand. Breeders, legal or illegal, decided to push up the number of dogs we're making available. We would have heard stories about tripling and quadrupling a cost of the dog because it's such a demand. But it was an artificial market. It's a case, as you said, once 2022 came along, everybody went back to work, that demand just disappeared overnight. So what we're witnessing really is a lot of these breeders, the good breeders are taking care of the dogs, but the lesser, more mercenary perhaps, are neglecting the dogs. And we're on the receiving end of trying to save those dogs. So you're right, it's a big issue for us and a big supply issue. On top of that, what's compounding is the cost of living issues. So veterinary costs have gone up between 50 and 100%. If you go into your supermarket to get some food for the animal, dry or wet food, that's gone at least 50, if not 100%. And then if you go on holidays, even the kenneling costs now, people will sort of, if they have to pay their energy bills or other bills, are looking at a significant cost for a few weeks with a dog in a kennel. So all of that compounded into a situation where we're experiencing significant increases in the number of breeders who we're trying to rescue animals from. So it is, it's been a very serious issue, and it's a continuous, but we believe it's for this year. It's not, you know, we think they call it a black swan event or something. It's just, we believe it's for 2023.
Okay.
If we work through it, and I'll explain our plan in a second, but if we work through it and get into 2024, we reckon
you can get a hold of it. So talk me through the plan then. What's the plan, Cyril? What are you thinking?
It's a simple plan.
It's
a simple plan. It's a case, as I said, in the first instance, we are determined to rescue every animal that we want to be left behind. So we're going to provide private shelter for those animals. We are ramped up our veterinary services, you know, so that we can match, you know, because every time an animal comes into us, as you described, all of those veterinary treatments have to be provided,
yeah,
and at very significant cost. We do that in our isolation units, then move the animal into its main kennel ready for rehoming. So we've ramped up the veterinary costs. We are installing kennels over the summer. We have to increase our own capacity. We have to make sure that we're able to take those dogs out of private shelters into our own shelters. And it also leaves us ready for 2024. And finally, and like yourself, and thanks a million for adopting, we're asking people to adopt and don't shop. There's hundreds of beautiful animals out there in rescues. And there is a myth, and I think you're probably going to be an example of this, where you're going to dispel this myth. The myth is that a rescue dog is a difficulty or something that you shouldn't do. It's quite the opposite. Those animals are coming out with the best of care, with the best of treatment.
Training.
With training and, you know, with the option of fostering. So
yeah,
if they come to us and they want to rehome or to take the animal in, they can foster. And if they foster, it means then that they have a chance over a month or two or three to say, well, actually, it's working or it's not working, and they can bring the animal back. That's a big advantage to us as well, because it means that from an animal welfare point of view, if an animal gets a few months with a family, it's way better than the best kennel in the world. So we would encourage, and we're asking people, and we're asking people today, and we've been asking people, and we will continue to adopt, don't shop.
Adopt, don't shop, or foster.
Or foster.
We need a tagline for the fostering, don't we? Foster, don't something. 51552, let you guys think of that one. You said the public have responded very well to your initial call for funding, and that's having a positive impact. If people want to donate, I'm sure they just go to the ISPCA.
Yeah, ispca.ie/donation. And we launched an appeal back in June. We've had a terrific response from the public. However, we still have an awful long way to go in terms of those donations. So if anybody has made a donation, we thank them. I really appreciate it. If anybody was thinking about doing it and hasn't got around to it, we really would appreciate they do it.
Mm.
You know, that's going to be a significant benefit to us. And also, as I said, if they adopt, it creates a space for another dog that we're going to be able to need. And they can volunteer as well. You know, it's a case that we, if they're able to come on a Saturday morning or something and help us walk the dogs, feed the dogs and clean and help us around the centres, where our centres are in Donegal, Longford, Mallow and Cork and in Wicklow. And if they're able to come to those centres and help us, it would be tremendous. And we also have charity partnerships with the Malahide Castle,
mm-hmm,
concerts, Forever Young concerts, and with the Electric Picnic. And if they're prepared to volunteer for us at any of those, we'd delight to hear from them.
Deadly. What a great little job for an older teenager to help out at the ISPCA. Amazing. Finally, can you give us some practical advice? If someone's listening to the show now, is thinking about getting a puppy or any animal, what do you really need to consider if they are to avoid having to surrender them in like 18 months' time? What do you think?
I think it's a really good question. And I think everything we've said this morning, I think I would just say it again. It's adopt, don't shop. You have the fostering option. You know, you don't have to go into it full time and just sort of say, I'm fully committed, and find yourself with a breeder who you've paid over the money and you can't go back to. You can come back to us. And as I said, it's a really positive outcome for us. In terms of the costs, even for ourselves, I mentioned we have our own dog. We have friends who have their dog, and
mm-hmm,
we reciprocate. When they go on holidays, we take the animal and they take our dog in. And we eliminate those kennel costs. The veterinary relationship is very important. You know, the sooner you go to a vet, find out what treatments are needed. And they're obliged in the consumer law to tell you the cost of these things. So you can budget for them. And then if you're able to budget and you know you can afford them, you're in good fettle.
And a lot of vets do plans and all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. They will do the initial tests and set out the various vaccines, etc.
Yeah,
that have to be done. And I think if everybody follows that from an ISPCA perspective, we reckon that they'll enjoy the affection, the love, the fun of the new addition to the family. It'd be terrific.
If somebody went for me, right, and I was with my husband, and I would fling the husband and the children at them before the dog. I just like, and that's in 3 weeks' time. We are absolutely obsessed with the dog. It was the best thing we ever did, and I'm so glad we were able to adopt. But fostering is a really good option if you're still unclear or on the fence, and you can try that out and see if it fits, that gorgeous furry animal fits into your lifestyle. Dr. Cyril Sullivan, thank you so much for coming in this morning. There we go. That is CEO of the ISPCA. And if you want more information on the ISPCA, to volunteer, to donate, to go down and foster, to see the gorgeous animals, you can visit ispca.ie and you'll find out all the information you need. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.